Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
You know, it's the Memorial Day time, and I hope you grilled some burgers with real meat and something that had a face, because, you know, meat does have a face, and I hope you enjoyed it, because I sure did. There's nothing like lemon, salt, pepper, little garlic to make it even better. But it's not only about grilling. Memorial Day is also about remembering those who we've lost, the fallen. And I'm wondering if you could think about Michael Spann. Michael Spann is a former Marine, and he was killed in an uprising of Taliban prisoners in 2001 at a detention facility where the American Taliban fighter John Walker Lind was being interrogated and being held. Lind was due to be released from prison after serving 17 years of a 22-year sentence. He hates this country. He supports the killing of journalists. He supports the beheading of journalists, as we saw ISIS and Al-Qaeda commit on journalists from the Wall Street Journal and elsewhere. And he just walks. I'm pro-life. Some of you know that. I'm opposed to abortion. I don't think a life should ever be taken. But I kind of wonder sometimes about people like John Walker Lind, the American Taliban. Because as he walks, he's not changing. There's no remorse. There's no remorse at all about what he's done. And if he does walk amongst us, who bears the responsibility on what he does later? It won't be Mike Spann, CIA officer, former Marine, like so many others that we've lost. There are veterans, too, on the Chicago Police Force, and we'll be talking about the Chicago Police and the relationship with Lori Lightfoot, mayor of Chicago, with none other than our friend Christian McQuarrie of the Chicago Tribune's editorial board. And Jeff Carlin is here, executive producer of The Rokon Show with Anna DeVellantis, and I'm John Cass, father, husband, columnist for the Chicago Tribune, yeah, and member of the editorial board. I sit around the big table thinking big thoughts. And you know where you are? You're on the Chicago Way on WGN Plus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand with pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
Well, you know, I'm very lucky because I get to see our next guest twice a week, and this time three times a week. We sit across a gigantic table, the kind of mahogany or something wooden table where people would discuss the fate of the world. But this is the editorial board, and we sit on opposite sides for some reason. I try to sit to the farthest right of the editor.
That makes sense. Why am I way on the left?
You're on the
I'm
left.
I'm in the wrong spot.
Christian McQuarrie, columnist for the Chicago Tribune and editorial board member of said Chicago Tribune. Good day.
Good day.
People have to know what's up with Kristen, so what's up?
Just regular ragtag running around mom life. I'm really enjoying this cup of coffee right here. That's, you got to appreciate the simple things, you know?
Well, when you're not discussing or thinking about tax increases in the state and how ethical and honest Mike Madigan is by lumping everything together so that people vote on it at the last minute, nobody gets to talk about what he wants to do. You are a mom.
Well, I'm just moments away from getting my own show, I think, on HGTV. If you need me to rebuild a porch, you know, tune up your carburetor, I'm here.
How are you with drapes?
Excuse me?
With window treatments.
Window treatments.
Oh, I could do that.
Because we finally got drapes, window treatments. And I asked Betty about it, like the comment. I put the microphone and she wouldn't. She just kept shaking her hands and
saying, no, no, no.
Yeah, she wouldn't even not say that.
Did you do them in the front room or?
We had no drapes. I was the Neanderthal in the Dinorama at Field Museum. And whenever I went to the kitchen to get some chicken, I could look out and there'd be a guy walking his dog waving at me from the sidewalk.
Okay.
It was kind of
all this time.
For weeks. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Tell me what happened with
you. So I decided to change. We needed to change out all the doorknobs in the upstairs. My daughter hasn't even had a doorknob that works for ages. There's no lock on the bathroom. I have growing children. And so I took it upon myself to go to Home Depot. By the way, that's kind of empowering, like walking into Home Depot, you smell all the sawdust and it's all there for you. You have to pick it out yourself. So
you could build an entire house.
You could build a skyscraper. I mean, it's
you might
really
need
exciting.
A steel for that, but
I bet they have it. So I changed out all the doorknobs upstairs, and each one presented some sort of a different problem. The biggest problem was my own bedroom, where I managed to lock myself in because I was trying to make sure I had this plate on correctly, and I closed the door where then it latched before I had put the handles back on. So I had maybe 15 or 20 minutes of absolute panic. I'm home alone. I have no phone. My neighbor is mowing the grass. I raise the window, trying to get his attention, no luck.
You're screaming out the window.
I was screaming out the window, Danny! Danny! And then I'm thinking, what am I going to do? Like, what an idiot. The house is locked. How are they going to get in? So anyway, I took a breath.
Were you going to tie bath towels together and go down, you know?
Out the window?
Go out the window and then try to come around?
I was actually thinking that if I had my phone, I would have had to call the school and had one of my kids come home early because there is a key somewhere hidden where they could have come in. And then I probably would have had the fire department have to come because I could not figure out. I'm locked. There is a latch. There is no doorknob. But
it would have been a great story for the firehouse, tell over dinner.
I was already looking at what I was wearing. My hair was a mess. I'm like, oh, my God, this is so embarrassing. But so I'm sure people who have done this, I just kind of put the knob back in there and twisted it around and got the little latch to open up. So.
And it's a modern latch, right? Like the pin through it, the spring loaded.
Exactly. Yes. I put the little thingy in there, and then shut the door before I had put the knobs on. So then it latches and then I'm stuck. I can't get it out.
Well, at least that's handy though. And you do get to walk around Home Depot, like you have like the tool belt and everything. You go like Bob the Builder type of thing.
I feel pretty powerful
like
right now.
T-shirt with your Luckies rolled up in your sleeve.
Yes. Yeah. Patio furniture is the task for the weekend. So
you're going to build some?
It's in a bunch of boxes and it's going to be very ugly. I'm just telling you.
Do you get that voice? The boys, when they were your kid's age, would say it's Betty's teacher voice when there's stuff to do on the weekend and mom would, come out with like tasks, chores. Do you get that voice like that?
It's more of a glare. I don't really have, the voice doesn't work because everyone just ignores me. But there's a glare. There's some stomping around. There's some passive aggressive behavior that makes it clear, get off the couch. We have stuff to do.
Furniture to be built.
There is furniture to be built.
IKEA, just some oak and some pine and a handful of Norsemen. IKEA, selling furniture for college kids and divorced men. Everyone has a home, but if you don't have a home, you can buy one there.
What do we have to do with Kristen today, Jeff? We have tasks too, don't we?
We have tasks. We have a state that's, trying to plug holes in the dike with bubblegum. I mean, in true Illinois fashion, we're going to be down to the wire trying to figure out how we're going to pass gambling and marijuana and income tax changes. And it's going to be a bill that's, 100 page, 300 pages, and everyone will have 2 hours to read it, and it'll never.
I just want to know, with the marijuana bill, what guys in Rosemont get the hydroponic gardens on the west side to grow the pot? How does it work like at the last minute?
Well, that will shake out. I mean, we saw with video gambling, which they approved in 2010, and I don't think it fully came online for several years, but the Tribune or ProPublica, somebody did a series on how there's no trickle down with this. I mean, a few people get extremely wealthy off of these proposals, and I'm sure it will be the same with marijuana dispensaries. If they do approve this big casino bill, same thing. The idea that these are like big job creators is kind of a myth.
So what is the state of the state, Kristen McQuarrie? Hashtag T-W-I-L-L. I don't know why that is. Why do people do that hashtag? Like
hashtag T-W-I-L-L is Twitter Illinois.
Okay.
So if you're writing about something Illinois, it's on Twitter.
Like Willie's black Twitter. It's the same thing.
Will has a black about the black Twitterverse or something. Is there a hashtag black Twitter?
Yeah.
So you only, if you're black, you can be on it.
Well, that's how you find it.
That's how you find it. The state of the state is not any better. They did find some extra money because we had a one-time tax windfall in April that a lot of people are actually attributing to Donald Trump's economic policies. There is a little bit of economic growth, and we had more tax revenue than was expected. So they took some things off the table that were really dumb ideas to begin with, like kicking the can on pension payments again.
Let's not pay our bills.
Let's just once again extend that ramp by 7 years, pile on the debt and the interest payments that taxpayers will have had. So that's off the table, but everything else is on. And yes, it's very soon they will vote to put this graduate income tax on the ballot, and that will be the next battle. So it'll be on the ballot. People like me will be writing about it for the next year and just trying to convince voters that giving more money to Springfield has proven over and over again to not be the right thing. Unless they're going to give me something, some reform, you got to put pensions on the ballot too. You got to let me vote on term limits. You got to let me vote on redistricting reform. You can't just push all these proposals to get on the ballot when you want to reach into my pocket. I'm sick of it.
Can we talk about the recreational marijuana bill and State Senator Van Pelt? This drives me insane.
Yes, I saw you, but never see you angry, Justin. You are Twitter pissed.
So tell us about
the story. The story rolling back, it's it was picked up from Tony Shuba on Times. Was writing about this, and the headline was driving me insane. But it's State Senator Patricia Van Pelt from the 5th, so Chicago
West Side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she was put her name as co-sponsoring the legislation to get recreational marijuana on the books. At the same time, she's running a business seemingly with her son to offer seminars on how to get rich in the with dispensaries and how to get into the business and how to get money off of the thing. A thing that's not legal yet, a thing that she's fighting to make legal. She's offering these seminars, and when she was confronted about it, she said, I'm pulled my name off the co-sponsorship because I didn't want to be a lightning rod. Not, I shouldn't have done it in the first place because it's completely ethically immoral to do that and say, hey, I'm going to make this thing happen because it's going to make me rich. And she was not upfront about it. And then she's not responding to anybody coming after her. Now, there's an investigation into her, but it's the Secretary of State for some reason, not an attorney general or a state's attorney, anybody of import who would have teeth to actually
not
do
the attorney general who came from the Senate, who's
exactly
sits not too far
Van
from her.
Pelt is from the West Side, correct?
Yes.
And her mentor, or like what we used to say, Chinaman, and what they used to say in New York is rabbi. But now I don't know what we call it, but her political clout.
Her sponsor.
Her sponsor, thank you. Ethically neutral. Is Jesse White, correct?
I mean, that's where his power base is, and he's the one doing the investigation. Right,
come on.
I know. This is Illinois, though.
It's just it was a little blip. It was a single story. It was like, one headline about a Secretary of State investigating her, not... Holy crap, we need to be yelling from the mountains that this is what our state, these are the people who run our state think is okay. And, and they're not
enriching themselves off their role in government. I mean, as a state senator, if she has constituents or somebody who wants to navigate the system of how to do that, she should just be helping them. She should not be charging people,
thousands
of dollars to come and listen to her with her inside knowledge, leveraging what she knows about state government.
It's illegal
in this game. Well, if only actual law enforcement would look into it, right? Because then maybe something would be brought.
Right. And I mean, how can she give any advice to anybody on something that doesn't exist unless she's writing how it exists or she knows how it's. I mean, the same thing with insider trading. You can't go and say, hey, you know, I'm going to short this stock because I know in 2 weeks this law is going to happen and it's going to impact the price of it. You can't do that either. It's the same thing.
How old is Jesse White anyway, for God's sake? Is he 90 years old?
I think he's 83 yet? Or 84,
83
maybe.
83 or 84. Mm-hmm. And he speaks fluent Italian, you know.
Did not know that.
Oh, yeah. He speaks Norwich. And Rosemont, and Grand Avenue. Oh, yeah.
Most popular politician in the state, isn't John it? Cass. And I was at Lori Lightfoot's inauguration ceremony. And when they made introductions, they told everyone, you know, please say, hold your applause. No problem here. Okay. But biggest applause in the room went to Jesse White, Dick Durbin, Kim Fox.
Kim Fox? Mm-hmm. Well, she's in the news.
When all of the charges against actor Jussie Smollett were dropped back in March, the court documents were sealed. The media challenged that decision. Jussie Smollett's attorneys wanted the documents to remain sealed, citing the actor's privacy rights. But the judge rejected the claim, pointing to Smollett and his attorney's media appearances during and after the case was dropped. Catherine McNeil Stein is with the Cook County State's Attorney's Office.
The state's attorney's office will review its files and will turn over any documents that were previously sealed as a result of the sealing order.
The documents are expected to be thin. The case was only a month old before charges were dropped. Ryan Burrow, ABC News.
Every time you get arrested or charged with a crime in Cook County, you should ask the judge for a Kim Fox Smollett adjustment, where they just toss it out.
That is happening, where a couple of public defenders have come before the court and said, for a disorderly conduct charge, hey, we want what happened to Jussie Smollett. My client A, B, and C, and they're using that.
There's a prominent case that's kind of catching a lot of the news on that, is where a young woman scammed her bank, essentially.
Right.
You know, she
allegedly
scammed a bank and tried to say that money was stolen, even though she had maybe supposedly shifted it, and then went back on it. It was her first offense, and it was a minor offense. And the lawyer's like, well, why is she going to court in this?
Does she have to have deferred prosecution where they were going to, like, give her probation for 6 months or something and then come back and revisit the case? Why not just drop it? Yeah.
So what do you think of that? Because I keep wanting the Tribune to write more editorials, and I know we did one recently.
On the Smollett case?
On the Smollett, saying there should be a special prosecutor, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, no, I think I don't know when our last piece was, but yeah, we have supported that you have to have an outside person come and evaluate what happened. But I think the more this case drags on, the more people sort of are going to forget the beginning, and she is now sort of being viewed as someone who's maligned in the press, and, you know, like, there's a racial element to this. And
who's she?
Kim Fox. So she
over
she,
my dead body.
Well,
over
I'm
my
just,
dead body. I'm not going to let anybody say she's maligned. Who's saying she's maligned? Anybody that I work with? Because I want names.
Oh no! Just the black community. I mean, when I was in this auditorium for Lori Lightfoot's induction, the fact that people rose to their feet, they support her, and they feel that she is being wronged.
And it's not just the black community too. There's a lot of people in, you know, white progressive communities who are like, one, I don't want to see her name anymore, because, or Jussie Smollett's name anymore. I think it's over. Let's move on. We've got better things to do.
No, I'm not moving on.
I know, but lots of people feel that way.
I'm not moving on because she gives you what you want. She's not putting anybody in prison, right? Or let's put it this way. You can steal $1,000 worth of goods from a shopkeeper and not get charged, right? That's her new deal. Broken windows, policing is out the window. Police officers are at their wit's end, and she's going to get away with what? So she can play the intersectional racist card and get away with it?
Yeah, and it goes even
deeper.
And now they're trying to subpoena Tina Chen and see her involvement, and she's refused it. I mean, I didn't know it was a thing you could do. I didn't know you could refuse a subpoena.
I didn't either. You just shut the door?
Yeah,
I thought they'd
nah,
like...
Nah, 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 nah.
You know, right.
You know, put your hands up and just say, nope, can't touch me.
I don't think
me,
that happens to just everybody.
Yeah.
You know, she's got clout, so she gets to refuse her subpoena.
She gets to refuse it at the door where she's working. She doesn't have to come to the door. You can't, like, break through her office. And truth be told, I avoided a subpoena once many years ago.
You did?
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Many years ago, I was a young reporter trying to hold on to my job, and the DeCola family, remember the DeColas from the fish place in Beverly?
Yeah, it's still there.
It's still there. There was an issue involving a statue. The statue came from a priest in New York, and I used to call him Father Big House John Storaci. And he was selling statues, and the statue was of the Virgin Mary. What happened was one of the DeColas was dying of cancer, and they were bringing the statue to help him, And there was obviously a fish house, so they had, lobster. And he set up the statue in the shrine room, near his bed. And then he excused himself, comes back to the table where everyone's eating and says, "My God, she's weeping." And they all ran in to weep and to pray with the weeping Madonna, which became a huge story in Chicago back in the day. And it ended up on the St. John's on 52nd and 51st, I forget where, on the south side, my old neighborhood. What happened then was that I wrote about it with Anne Marie Lipinski, another reporter trying to hold on to her job. She ended up as the editor of the newspaper. And I was subpoenaed by Father Storaci's lawyer. So they said, "They're looking for you for a subpoena." And I ran out the back door with the then copy boy. We were copy boys together at the Tribune, but by then I was a reporter. His name's Paul Sullivan. And Paulie and I went down to the Billy Goat, and we got, and Ellen Soderberg, our Metropolitan editor, said, "Just go down there and drink beer. Don't talk to anybody." And we went down there, and we have to follow what the boss says. Sure, so yeah. We drank beer all
the time. Boss's orders. But they were suing someone. This obviously was
there was a $100 million lawsuit against the Tribune and John Cass and Anne Marie Lipinski for besmirching his character, because the DeCola family were praying with the crying of the statue. And he went back to the table and started cracking some lobster claws. And I think it was a Monsignor in New York that I called for comment said, "Oh, that's right." Something like to the effect of, "Oh, yeah, that's perfect." So the Madonna's weeping, and he goes back and starts cracking the lobster claws. I hope he dipped it in butter or something. And that was part of a lawsuit. So it didn't go anywhere. And I have to think that the Tribune may have talked to the cardinal here in Chicago, and that cardinal may have talked to some other cardinal, and it just didn't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
That's how so you can avoid subpoenas.
Okay.
But if they run up to you and they put it in your hand, you have to.
So the lesson is run to the Billy Goat and drink beer. Yes.
Drink beer all day with Paul Sullivan and talk baseball.
Okay.
There's no better. Someday we should have on the podcast to hear that story.
I'm talking baseball. Lazuski, Campanella, talking baseball. The man and Bobby Feller, the Scooter, the Barber, and the Duke. They knew them all from Boston to Dubuque. Especially Willie, Mickey, and the Duke.
I'm sorry for a long-winded Shaggy Dog, but the point is the appellate judge, Sheila O'Brien, is pushing this, and that's why this thing is being opened up, I believe. She won't stop.
Yeah, she refiled. I don't want to say too much because I try to only speak of things I actually have researched, and I know that she refiled some paperwork. I think the Tribune has been trying to get, because you remember as soon as there was that one day where the charges were dropped, the case was sealed, the records were gone.
Oh, yeah, it's just a Chicago way thing.
It's a Chicago way thing. So there has been a trickle of paperwork. I think the Tribune got a bunch of her email where you saw a lot of back and forth. She had said initially, Ken Fox, that she wasn't going to be involved in the case, and then she was. And
bless John Cass.
I love that. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. She did say that. Oh, bless John Cass.
Oh, was it bless John Cass?
Yeah. Thanks, Kim. Thanks, Kimmy. You love your ponytail, too. Yeah. But, yeah, and then So the judge is pushing it, and they have to open this up. And I think it's a good thing they open it up. And I'm really sorry for the social justice warriors who want to ignore the Smollett thing. But they keep talking. Our social justice warriors talk about two standards of justice, two cities, and all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, isn't this one?
Well, right, because he's a famous actor, and he got a backdoor phone call directly to the Cook County State's attorney to move the case to the Fed. So that it has just it's never made sense from the beginning. So I think I think there's actually a date where they have to turn over all the records.
Okay, that's done now because that'll happen this week. And what else happens this week? Lori Lightfoot has her first council meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Now in the editorial board where we sit, we talk about these things and. You're working on a piece, or the Tribune's working on it, the editorial board is working on a piece, or is it you personally? Mm-hmm. Yeah?
I mean, I'm lead writer on it. It's not going to, I mean, it's just kind of a table setter for her first council meeting. And what might be different? You know, we've seen mayors come and go, but I thought her really holding aldermen's feet to the fire with signing an executive order, getting rid of aldermanic privilege, shaking up the committee structure. You have some aldermen kind of PO'd at the way she went after them during her inauguration. So
Alderman Lopez,
we've been triggered.
There will
feel
be
attacked.
Yeah, I mean, I was sitting in that room, and it was uncomfortable. I mean, I loved it.
Yeah,
the people behind me were hooping Felicia. And hollering, and in the aisles, and
40 minutes of applause, 40 seconds of applause at least. That's a long time.
Yeah, I mean, I think as much as we get into the weeds with permitting and aldermanic privilege, what does it mean? Regular rank and file voters understand that there is a different standard for aldermen, and that they have been able to enrich themselves off of their government roles for too long without enough oversight, and that's what she was going after. So, I mean, I look at this, though, having seen someone like Blagojevich come in, and he was, you know, kind of played along with the legislature at first, and then it was just all-out war, and then even with Quinn, the legislature ignored him. At one point, John Cullerton, the Senate president, called him irrelevant. Then you had Rauner, who came in fist swinging. Sometimes that doesn't work. So I would throw a little caution to Lori Lightfoot. Editorial pages love it. Columnists love it. But you need them to get your agenda through. So you do have to tread lightly. And she came out swinging. And so I think she's going to have to soften that tone a little bit if she wants to get anything through the council.
Also, she's also learning, as I wrote last week, I hate to reference my stuff, but all glory is fleeting.
Yes.
She's learning now. Mm-hmm. James Smith, the federal marshal that worked with her when she was, this is what they call them. It's not an insult, but baby prosecutor. When she just started out, these are people that have known her and trusted her judgment, and she's trusted them from the beginning of her career in law enforcement. And she's no longer the baby prosecutor. She's now mayor of Chicago. But she selected this U.S. Marshal to run her bodyguard detail. And immediately, FOP pushed back and started dropping stuff in the papers. NBC5 broke it, I think. And then we ended up getting it. Sometimes everyone's writing about it. It's like a little mini battle between Lori Lightfoot and the FOP over who's going to guard her.
Mm-hmm.
And what bothered me about it was the commander of her detail did not even get a police radio until just a couple days ago. Kristen McQuarrie, should Lori Lightfoot be able to put whoever she wants on her detail, including former feds?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Exactly.
I mean, I think this is a little blip. I think the bigger issue for me, and I'm glad it's being aired. I mean, I'm always going to be for more reporting than less, is that Mr. Smith is married to a very now powerful lobbyist for United Airlines. And so there's this picture, this sense that now this huge employer and influential player in Chicago is going to have an inside track because the husband is going to be. I mean, when you're the security detail for the mayor, you are at their side. You're listening to their conversations in the car. You are extremely close. But I kind of agree with some of the talk that we had around the editorial board, which was you're not going to avoid this kind of stuff in Chicago. Fine to report on it. But you had two people who married later in life. And Ms. Houlihan started out as a public servant and worked her way up, and now she has a very big role, and she's extremely qualified in that role. And you have this security chief who was a former federal agent.
Former marshal.
They're married. You know, you're going to have accomplished people marrying other accomplished people.
Look, I want Lori Lightfoot to succeed. Mm-hmm. I supported her. I like Smith. I understand. I know his partner, and I supported at least the idea, if not the execution, but the idea of involving the National Guard, at least in some aspects, to shut down certain streets. We had Bob Mylan on to talk about this. That said, I am worried about perception. Look, it bothers me that Elijah Cummings' wife is making a fortune, perhaps leveraging his work in Congress. I've got here in Illinois, Dick Durbin, his wife is a lobbyist. Oh, really? The people she deals with don't know that she's married to the minority whip or whatever he was? Come on.
Yes, and you have newspaper reporters who marry other newspaper reporters who then leave and go work for top government officials and become very close with them. And then there's an issue of can you be covering a public official when your spouse is very close to that person? I mean, this is life. And so I prefer that it be written about and exposed, and then everyone can be aware of it and watch it. But I also am, you know, my little offendometer is not going up on this one. And she is going to, as I think we wrote in an editorial recently, because she ran as a reformer and set the bar very high, these stories are going to keep rolling out. She set this bar. So the second she takes a campaign contribution that looks questionable or makes a hire or hires someone's kid, it's a bigger story than if John Stroger did it back on the Cook County Board, because that was expected.
And it's not like that Smith's wife is using him somehow to get advance herself or vice versa.
Right.
They're both advanced in their own right. Whereas in like a Durbin situation, you almost have he's a senator and now your wife's a lobbyist. It's not like you're on a path to that. You know, I get there's the idea, but you're right. She really should think a little broader in some of the stuff, because it's just going to keep.
I agree with Kristen. My offendometer is not high. What offends me though are the, oh, John, like that. Like why bring that up, spouses? Really? Well, you know why? Because I'm a grown up in Chicago and I cover Chicago politics, and influence is all, it's the whole game.
Yeah.
And I believe her and I believe him. He's an honorable man.
I think your column on this topic and in a couple others leading up to her being sworn in are more that you're concerned she's not surrounding herself with people who are playing these things through. She's making a decision and she doesn't have someone there telling her, here, this is step one in the chess game. Here's how the media is going to react. Here's five chess plays down the road that maybe she needs some. People around her have more experience with how the city rolls.
I agree.
So I think that's kind of the theme of your piece.
Thank you. I agree that is the theme of my piece. One thing, on the bodyguard issue, when Rich Daley had bodyguards, when they, you know, he knew who they were. Tim Degnan knew who they were. Jeremiah Joyce knew who they were. They knew who their grandparents were. They knew who their fathers were. They knew who their brothers were and what jobs they had on the police force. They knew all. And then they'd pick. You can have this guy.
Has to be a trusted person.
Was there a guy, Sammy, from the first ward on the detail? Sure. Because groups are represented in this Praetorian Guard. But there's a guy named Ed Burke. And Ed Burke, the first thing I ever heard Ed Burke say when I was a kid, I didn't even get him as a lawyer. I've written about this, disclosed already. But when I got busted when I was a kid for the recreational marijuana that Pritzker wants to allow.
Define kid.
I was 17.
Okay.
16, 17 years old. Minor. It wasn't my fault. I didn't even know what happened. It was in the car. Why was it there? I don't know. We were on our way to a graduation party. Now here's Kristen as a mom of soon-to-be teenagers, and the things clicking.
Did you see that glare come out a little bit?
Oh my God! Yeah, she's like, "What am I going to do?"
How old were you? Were you actually a child? Yeah, you really didn't know. Okay.
So, we were arrested, and somebody knew somebody who knew Ed Burke. So we went to meet the lawyer. I've written about this. And we went to meet the lawyer, and the lawyer raises his finger, like says, hold on, while we were standing in front of him, and he's still on the phone. And the last thing he says on the phone is, and you know what? Like I always say, take care of the coppers first. Hangs up the phone. What can I do for you? I'm Ed Burke. I'll never forget that as long as I live. And my own experience from reporting on politics is that he's developed this vast intelligence network. A lot of it's law enforcement based, which was surprising that you ever get jammed up. A lot of it's law enforcement based. The success of politics is information, advanced information. And given that, I don't see how she's at odds with Burke now. He hasn't been indicted. They're waiting for the indictments to come. That might help her in this council reorganization. But I don't see why she shouldn't pick people she trusts around her.
Right. Does Tony Preckwinkle use CPD or Pritzker? Like using the idea of using outside personnel, to me, I don't know enough to say that that's super, that that's offensive. To me, I'm thinking more cops on the street. Great. I'll take the private security detail for the mayor to drive around in that SUV if it means more rank and file guys on the street. And I was right. Fine with Rahm having it. And I don't live too far from Sheriff Tom Dart. He deals with people in and out of jail all the time. I'm cool with him having a security detail too. Other than that, the governor, other than that, I question it. I mean, you have aldermen who have drivers.
Yeah.
And of course, Burke, like just such a double standard, lives in a fortress, bodyguards galore, armed with what, 21 weapons when he was charged.
Well, he's a former police officer.
Well, not to mention,
he enforced a handgun ban in Chicago, but he was allowed to accumulate
because laws
arsenal.
Are for not for the people who make
right.
Laws.
Well, thanks, Otis McDonald, the Morgan Park resident who took that case all the way to the Supreme Court and said, "I'm tired of people in my neighborhood, gangbangers and criminals, having weapons, and I'm not allowed to have a handgun to protect myself."
That brings us to the other issue, which is Lori Lightfoot saying we're going to get rid of the guns or gun violence, which I can't stand to hear that. And I even see it in the newspaper, including my own beloved Chicago Tribune, and it irks me. It's not gun violence. It's gang violence. People like Otis McDonald represent a great number of people in the city, particularly on the west side and the south side, who vote, who are involved in their communities, follow the law, and who know that if they don't have a gun in their house, they're vulnerable. And there seems to be this whole crew of, I don't know, liberal writers and pundits and so forth that want they would have that hate have no home here sign in front of their house, and they want you to get rid of your guns. They have no idea what's going on in the neighborhood.
Yeah, I mean, I just, in listening to her speech, everyone words everything very carefully. And in Lori Lightfoot's inauguration speech, enough with the guns, enough with it. You know what? Yeah. It's going to take a lot more than you wagging your teacher finger at this crowd. The violence comes from gang activity. It also just comes from, it does come from kids who have guns and don't know how to use them and shouldn't have them. I think that's more of a parenting problem. When we talk about parents, look under your kids' beds, check them before they go outside. And yet, that doesn't really ever enter the conversation. I think it's going to be a rude awakening for her because so much of this is instigated on social media. It's a jealousy thing. It's over a girlfriend. And they're teenagers. They're stupid. They make terrible decisions. I don't know how the mayor's office or the mayor standing in front of a podium saying enough of this is really going to change that culture. But we'll see. We'll, I don't want to sell her short. She's hardly even been in office.
She played the intersectional card, she played the race card a little bit, and I'm the first black gay woman and all that. And she played the feminist card with respect to abortion, which I found a little offensive because I'm pro-life and I don't think that people who are opposed to abortion are hateful people. I think they love babies. They love life. And but I can see what she's doing because she's trying to build a, you know, support with these various constituencies. The main thing is the reason why she won, and she shouldn't forget, is that she has the city of Chicago is sick and tired of the corruption.
Right.
And that's why she won.
Yeah. And that is, I mean, if you go through, so she, during her speech, she talked about, she kind of went after Alderman. That's the moment she went after Alderman. And then she pivoted to the abortion issue, I think, to sort of like bring everybody back together in that room because it's not a pro-life crowd. But in her paperwork, in her transition team report, in all of her speeches, she focuses on corruption. So I am counting on her to deliver on some of that.
Will she get the vote she needs to put her allies in these key committees?
Yeah, I think she will. I think she will.
And then what?
And then, I mean, I want to see how day-to-day governing on the city council is different when you get some of those stalwarts out. No more Kerry Austin at budget. No more Ed Burke at finance. No more Solis at zoning. And you have replaced them with some people who think differently and empowered kind of the progressive anti-corruption forces on the council. So let's see if it makes a difference, you know?
And then her problem is going to be dealing with the people on the far, far left.
Oh, yeah.
That's a new one. And we'll save that for another.
Yes.
Another Chicago way when we do the burgers.
Yes, we have to get you trying a couple garden burgers. I'm testing them out. I go to restaurants now, and if they have a veggie burger, I try it out just so I can see if maybe John Cass is going to like this one.
What is your favorite so far?
So the Beyond Burger is pretty good on the grill. I won't say that it's that great, like in a restaurant, if it's on a griddle. But Elephant and Castle at Lake and Wabash has a double bean burger that is pretty darn good.
Does it have fake blood? Because I need to see blood inside.
No, so the Beyond Burger has the beet juice, which I think will...
It has what?
Beet juice, B-E-E-T juice. They inject it into it, so it gives you that... You'll blood. Feel like... You might look like a vampire to have a little blood, which I know you need. The bean burger, no. Nope.
My problem is, Kristen and Jeff, I always... The only... When I eat something, I want to think of its face. I need to eat something that has a face. And Katie Maker from used to work at the Tribune, photo editor, would always say that. And I just love that. To have a face. And beans don't have a face.
I'm the opposite. I don't want to see what goes on behind the meat curtain. I do eat meat. I enjoy it. But... I do not want to think of the face. That's why it took me forever to eat lamb until I was at your house, because I could only picture like the children's books.
Yeah.
Little fuzzy lamb where your child would touch the fuzz on the sheep
that.
And then turn the page. And
I love that when you touch the fuzz. When my boys were little and they would touch the fuzzy lamb, I would say, and under the throat where you put the knife, it's really soft. And you have to brush it and then sink the knife in and then hang it upside down. Gently, so that it drains.
So all the blood drains.
Into the stairwell. I'll leave you with one story. Orland Park, I get this call. Remember, who's the guy who took the bullet for Reagan?
Oh. Tim McCarthy.
Tim McCarthy. He was Orland Park police chief. Yeah, I get a call. They're killing kids! They're killing kids! 911. So they all rush. Guns drawn. They run around the house. They run the back door. There's two Palestinian Christians. I know some people don't believe that people in the Middle East could be Christian, but guess what? That's where Christ is from, right?
Yeah.
So, yes, of course. And they were slaughtering a lamb in the stairwell of the house.
Oh,
and it was making
no.
a sound like, yeah. And people thought that they were killing kids.
Eating, completing.
Here are these poor guys doing, you know, their own, what you know, they're religious. If they were Muslim, man, everyone would... You know, oh my God, don't even dare mock them. And they were doing their thing for the religious festival. And here we go. Copper showed
up. Strong.
Guns.
Wow.
Welcome to America. Christian McQueary, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
We'll see you soon. And for Kristen McQuarrie, columnist for the Chicago Tribune, editorial board member, and our friend, our spiritual sister, for Jeff Carlin, executive producer of the Rokan Show with Anna DeVellantis, and for me, John Cass, husband, columnist, man without a garden, but I do have drapes, finally, in my home. We'll see you on another edition of the Chicago Way.